Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to the NS9 postgame show. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we got Neil. Neil, we have a Pirates victory, a rare one this spring.
I'm surprised. It's like, what, one of six?
Yes. Yes, one of six. Tell us where you were at when the Pirates won the six.
Chilling in my apartment, icing my legs.
There you go. But yeah, Pirates win. They beat the Twins today, 7-4. And I guess, I mean, just to kind of get into it in a sense, it was like an overall, like, pretty good game. It was one where you watched it. You took a lot of good things away from it. You were pleasant. It was pleasing, you know, not too many things that made you irritated or, you know, what the hell was this? It was a good overall spring game.
There is one thing that really irritated me, but let's start with the positives.
And let's
it's mostly roster construction, but let's start with positives. So, I mean, I know you guys just had a conversation about him, but Mitch Keller, once again, is looking amazing. And so, like, I don't know about you. It's hard to, like, take a whole lot from, like, spring training games, like, especially stats. Like, what I kind of look for is, like, pitch structure, velocity, swings and misses. Right. And he's checking all those boxes. And it's exciting to see him, like, turn into a strikeout pitcher when last year he was kind of like a ground ball exclusive pitcher. I don't know if you've seen that like throughout the spring.
No, for sure. That's one thing I tweeted today too. Like you said, you know, when it comes to spring, I'm not looking so much into stats, right? I'm not looking at slash lines, ERA, stuff like that. But the thing that struck me with Mitch Keller, we look overall for spring, 15.2 innings, 20 strikeouts, one walk. Like you're saying, those are the things that are really, really intriguing me about Mitch Keller this year, because you're right. You know, with him like leaning to the sinker ball last year, becoming that ground ball pitcher, that was cool. That was good. Mm-hmm. And to me, there was some concern this year with it because of the lack of shifting and such. Like how much does now the ground balls affect him?
Yeah.
But he's learning to make outs via strikeout as well. Like he looks like a complete pitcher right now.
And I think the most exciting part is what I've noticed. Like you mentioned, the one walk is that he's getting strikeouts by attacking the plate. Like, he's not shying away from throwing strikes. Like, he's attacking the zone. He has his cutter. He has a slider. He has two fastballs.
I'm going to keep my hand off the mouse.
He's just adopted this huge arsenal where he can attack the zone and, like, hitters, and again, it has been spring, so they're still like getting used to like seeing pitches, but I mean, it's exciting stuff. I would give him a contract on opening day like we did with Hayes last year.
So you're on board with the extending Mitch Keller?
100%, only because starting pitching is so hard to come by. Like Rich Hill's making $8 million this year. I like Rich Hill, but that would be a crazy amount for a 42-year-old pitcher a couple of years ago. So like if you buy out some Arbiers, you give him some free agency extend. Like, you get him at a really good rate, especially if he takes this next step. Like, it's kind of like Hayes. If he takes that next step, you've got two insane contracts under that. It really can't be beat in terms of team building.
Right. No, I'll put it this way. You know, I know there's been some dialogue. We've had some shows about extending him. I know Jim is maybe less on board just because he is a pitcher. Like, how you say because of pitching is what you want to. And him, which I can understand the concern, right? Usually those are the guys that get injured opposed to batters. Like, that's a little of a riskier extension. But I'm with you. It's like, if they don't, it's not the end of the world for me. Like, I want to see O'Neill Cruz get extended.
I think he would be third on my wish list. The only reason I've been like tooting that horn is because we're never going to spend money in free agency with Bob on premier starting pitching. And so I think you almost have to take those risks with your guys, especially when you've seen a turnaround like Keller has had. I buy it sticking around, you know, and obviously you take on the risk of him getting hurt, but I feel like that's any sports contract and he's got to live up. And look at the Mets. The Mets are now eating. They're two big re-signs or trying guys are might be out for the year. So no, right. I get the hesitation, but I think the risk is worth the reward.
But let's just talk about that. Here we are. I mean, imagine a year ago having this debate on if you should extend Mitch Keller. This is where we've come. And it's a legit debate. And again, like talking about today's start, you know, even more. I mean, what, 4.2 innings today? No earned runs, 3 hits, no walks, had a hit by pitch. Oh, my bad, 1 earned run.
That's one thing he's been doing in bad is like with the home runs, but his spring training, you know, he's tinkering with stuff. He's going to leave some pitches in the zone. So I'm like, I'm not worried about that, but you're right. Last year, most people didn't want him on the team. I was kind of a believer after I saw him pumping 97 on Twitter, but like I never in my like wildest dreams would have expected to see this.
You're right. And here we are. And again, it's not as just like, okay, it's spring training. He has a 3.45 ERA now. Mm-hmm. 3.45 ERA. Like, again, like that's not the stuff that matters. It's not that we're looking at. It's the fact that, like you said, he is attacking the zone. This is not what Mitch Keller was. Mitch Keller was nibble, nibble, nibble because he was afraid. He would poop his pants every time he took the mound, it would seem. You know what I mean? Like, he just, he was not confident at all. And right now he is oozing in confidence. I mean, not even physically, but just mentally, the place that Mitch Keller is right now. I'm so excited for him this year.
I just remember like back in like 2019 and 2020, you could just like visibly tell his body language was like all over the place. Like he obviously, it looks like he didn't even want to be there. And now like, he just looks like he belongs. And like, I don't know, he's like a mainstay leader, but I mean, in terms of like an example for these young guys, I think it's an incredible story to have and just like an incredible, like something incredible to watch. Cause we really don't get a whole lot of stuff like this as fans. I don't think.
Right. Yeah. And let's look at today's start. So a couple of things like you mentioned as well, him attacking, but I mean, I think it might be fair to say he was working on something as well. 32 cutters he threw today out of the 77 pitches. 42% of his pitches were cutters, which is something newer that he's been, you know, using this year. I mean, all in all, he has 7 pitches now. So again, like we're talking about Mitch Keller, he's got not only to add the sinker last year, but now he has the sweeper. He's got the cutter. I mean, today he threw 7 pitches. We know he's a student of the game. You know, like, again, these are some of the things that are exciting me, like the arsenal this guy has to create outs. But yes, today it was very cutter heavy. Then next with the 4-seam fastball, some curveballs, some sweepers, right? But like an overall 212 whiffs, 30% whiff rate. Again, he's missing bats. Like this, for what you can take away from spring, like this today's start pretty much embodies what Mitch Keller's spring has been.
It's about as positive as you can take away from anything spring really training related,
right?
And I just love the fact that like he has so many different pitches now with different velocities that like batters almost have to end up guessing. Like he has a fastball sitting 90, like 97. He has a cutter and a changeup in the low 90s, a sinker at 95. But then you also drop down to his sweeper and his curveball. And it's like, so, and he's all thrown them for strikes. They've all looked good. And so I don't know what he's been doing this offseason. Who, like, I don't know if he went back to drive line, and or if he's been working with Oscar, but like clearly whatever he's been working with has been good. And it's nice to see him not like rest on his laurels last year. Like he went and took another step, and that makes me excited.
Yes, absolutely. Like, again, I feel like I can have an hour long conversation with Mitch Keller, and that's not what this show is about. And fortunately for the listeners, we won't. But it's just like, again, like this, how excited you are for Mitch Keller opposed to a year ago. This is also why I can't be more proud that he's the opening day starter. Like such a great story for him, how much he's nice worked video. To get here. Really but you are right. And like he so far it's spring again, like I'm not going to take what he's throwing right now that this is going to happen into, you know, the regular season, but like he's throwing all of them. It's not as if like, you know, one or two or three are just a show me pitch. Like he's pretty much throwing them all so far.
Yeah. And I think like obviously as a plans, like today was work on your cutter day. Yeah. But like when you're throwing 93 mile an hour cutters with that kind of movement, you're going to get swings and misses. You're going to get that weak contact. And that's what he was inducing. Like outside of the first inning where he struggled a bit, gave up a couple hard hits. Like no one was hitting him hard until the home run.
Well, I was going to say, and actually not to like be that guy to correct you, but the two hits, one really wasn't like we're going to his cutter. One was a broken bat bloop. So like other three hits he had in the first inning, one was that broken. Like he shattered a bat with his cutter. He did that twice today. No, it's not a sorry thing, but it's also to kind of make it even better what you're saying. You know, one of those hits that he had in the first inning was really just a bloop that probably would have been an out, but because the bat shattered, it just kind of fell in between everyone.
So like again, I was thinking of the Brooks Lee single to lead off the game. That was like 105 miles an hour.
Yeah, that one definitely was. And then obviously the home run that did come in later, like you mentioned, by Larnach, that Larnach went like 400, I think it did. And
408. I mean,
408. Yeah.
A mere 30 feet shorter than what Travis Swaggerty did.
But are you setting me up here?
I think that's as good of a setup as any.
Do we want to skip into that? I feel like the outfield situation is getting more compelling right now. Obviously, we know Brian Reynolds is there.
Yeah.
Andrew McCutchen's been out for a few days, right? Minor elbow injury. So, you know, it's spring. He's out. No big deal. But we know Andrew McCutchen's
playing. He's on the opening day roster.
Like, he's on the roster. Right. Now he'll mix it up with DH and outfield, but he'll occupy one of the outfield spots, obviously, apparently. Connor Joe's playing well. He was signed and he's playing well so far. But I think, like, when you look at, like, the rest, there's Jack Sawinski, there's Swaggerty, there's Cal Mitchell, there's Kanan Smith and Jigba. And I like about a week ago, it was who's really taking this job?
Yeah, I agree.
And now fast forward a week later, and I think like the picture's looking a little bit better. And now, I mean, obviously the Pirates might have a different mindset, but we're looking at performance and how guys are playing.
Mm-hmm.
You said it with Travis Swaggerty. I mean, how can you look at what he's doing right now? And just by performance, nothing outside of that, nothing about any other player, nothing about like his past status of the Pirates or his past years playing, but just right now, performance wise, how do you look and see what he's doing? Very, very competent center fielder defensively.
Yeah.
He's hitting for power. How do you look at him and say, you know what? This kid doesn't earn a shot.
So I think he has the best chance out of all of them because of his center field ability. Like, and I know Lee Com, and I think Justice talked about this when he was on the show about how like Lee Com's son is the worst, but like, Jack does not look good as center field. He just doesn't, and that's okay. So I think just having like that inside path to playing center gives Swagger the advantage to getting that fourth outfield spot. I need to go back and see because he killed that pitch. He absolutely destroyed that ball 440 feet. Mason Martin yesterday also destroyed the ball 440 feet. On a very similar meatball pitch. And so not that I want to take away from what Swaggerty has done, because he has come out of the gate and destroyed spring. He has done an amazing job. I would want to go back and see what kind of pitches he's hitting out for home runs, though. Because today was, if he didn't hit that out, I think it would have been a disappointment. If that makes any sense. And I can't shake looking at guys like Jared Kelenic, who is also having a monster spring.
Fair.
Because pitchers are just feeding him meatball after meatball that he mashes, and it doesn't matter because he can't hit a curveball to save his life. And so, not that I don't think he doesn't deserve the job at this point, even though Smith and Jigba is also making a really compelling case, I don't want to crown him immediate center day, everyday center field starter like I have been seeing in some circles, though. I
Right.
want to be cautiously optimistic.
So that's a very fair point. And I guess, like, to take this back to my mindset, like, again, especially like a week ago, it is spring, so I don't want to take too much from this. So again, like, you're looking at results, Swaggerty is having a very impressive spring. But again, we know Reynolds is there, you know, Kutch is there, Connor Joe was signed. He's going to be there. And also, he's performing decent enough this spring to show like he warrants a spot, right? So it's not
To
as
be
if it's like,
fair,
what's
sorry,
that?
do we know how badly this pad Santana injury is?
Oh, it doesn't, from what I saw, and I don't think it is.
Okay, because I was thinking if like, he has to go to the DL, then like Joe just plays first base with Choi and then you just slot someone else in there. But never mind. Go ahead. Sorry.
Fair. No, I don't. And again, I could certainly be wrong, but I don't believe it's anything major. I think he avoided everything pretty serious stuff.
Okay,
So,
that's good to hear.
Probably with him, some with Kutch, just kind of precautious. You know, it's they're
Yeah.
vets. It's spring. No big deal if he takes a day or two
They know what
off.
they're doing.
Right.
Okay.
But good point about Joe. But yeah, so like when you look at Swaggerty, I don't want to like fall too much into this and, you know, be fooled and say, okay, well, because he's batting right now, Neil, he's batting 417 and he has an OPS of 1232. He's starting. I don't care who else is out there. To
Yeah.
me, it's less of that. I mean, that's part of it. But to me, it's more of what is Sawinski doing to earn his job? You know, so he, like,
Yeah.
this was Sawinski's job to lose. If you're looking at the pecking order before the season started, he was up there. I mean, he was the guy that
Yeah.
started out there, you know, last year. He played how long? I know he got sent back down, came back up, but like he's been there. He's got the at bats. Then it was probably Kenyon Smith and Jigba in my mind, and then Swaggerty. And just because,
Yeah.
like, that's kind of how they viewed Swagger last year. I mean, he didn't like get any plate appearances in the majors.
You got nine in all of them for lefties. Yeah, like it wasn't really all that fair.
Right.
Well, I do see your point because I mean I'm not gonna blow it around the bush. Swaggerty has been absolutely sorry, Sawinski has been absolutely miserable this spring. But I guess for me is like looking at Sawinski, I'm like, this is who Jack Sawinski is. He's gonna strike out 30% of the time. He's gonna hit you 20 home runs, and he's gonna play a plus right field glove. And I think the Pirates are okay with that. Because I feel like, especially in a team that wasn't very good defensively last year, now I feel like that should change this year with all the signings we brought in. I feel like he will have that value. And because he has that 20 home run power that a guy like Smith and Jigma may not, because of how he swings the bat, that's going to give him an inside track to staying on the roster. And I think that's probably, that's what I'm assuming the front office is thinking.
Yeah. See, like, I mean, that's completely fair. I don't, I said it on Twitter today, like, mentally where I'm at right now is I feel I'm leaning towards Swaggerty being sent to AAA. And really it's going to be a battle, if not both, of Swaggerty. Did I say Swaggerty or
You said
Sawinski?
swagger,
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm mixing them up too. I've been all day.
it's
I'm mentally there to send Sawinski to Indy and have them either battle or both of Swaggerty and Kenyon Smith and Jigba make it. That's where I'm at, simply because much less of the fact that those two are performing, but just more of Sawinski isn't. And these are the
Yeah.
reasons he was sent down to begin with last year. And those struggles still resumed in AAA. And then he got called up to the majors again, and they still resumed to the majors until it felt like the last 2 weeks it started like clicking a little bit for him, you know,
Yeah.
better. So like he still had those issues, and those issues remain. And to me, that's just where I'm like, I don't care about, like, I keep getting the slash line thrown at me. Well, it doesn't matter because Jack Sawinski right now is batting. Let me find his. It's 208, 344, 417, OPS 761. Like OPS 761 isn't terrible, right? But when you're striking out 15 times and 32 plate appearances, that's not good. And something
No.
tells me that slash line is going to normalize soon, and he's not going to have that 768 OPS or 761.
And
So
I've
that's where
sorry.
I'm at. But I'm not. But I'm not strong that I will fight you tooth and nail for this by any means.
So, like, I mean, listen, I am not married to swaggery at all, because to your point, striking out of that rate just isn't sustainable, because I take away the slash line, because the slash line doesn't involve context. Because if you strike out that much, you are, if you're coming up with runners on, runners in scoring position, and you're just striking out and you're not putting balls in play. I mean, it's kind of like the Joey Gallo issue that I think a lot of New York fans had with Joey Gallo, except Sawinski doesn't walk like Joey Gallo. He strikes out like him, and he hits kind of for the same power. It's kind of like having a junior, it's like a diet Joey Gallo. And I mean, listen, I am all about competition with these young guys. I am all about giving the guys who are performing the opportunity, because I think that lights a fire under people. And I think that's where you start building like that winning culture, instead of people just resting on their laurels. Like, this is my job. I don't need to push. Cause like, who does Sawinski have to push for last year?
Right.
Who is he playing against? Bly Madris?
Anthony Alford, Bly Madris, Deo Castillo. Right.
Like not even Alford.
Again, so, nobody,
like,
really.
Yeah. And so, like, and because poor Smith and Jibba broke his wrist so after three games. But so, no, I'm all about competition. And if Sawinski starts the year in AAA, you won't hear me complaining, because I would like to be proven wrong about Swaggerty. I kind of all but given up on him. I would like to be
Same.
Proven wrong.
And that's, to be fair, I'm there also. Like, I've pretty much, I've written him off. So that's why I'm somewhat intrigued, because again, it's less of what Swaggerty's doing this year in spring, just more of what Sawinski isn't doing.
No, that's entirely
but right. Like, if we talk about all three of them, Kenan Smith and Jigba, Swaggerty and Sawinski, wherever they all three are at, I'm not really going to complain. I'm not going to go crazy because someone's in the majors and someone's in the minors or whatever. But again, I'm right now leaning towards Sawinski being in the minors. But regardless, we'll move forward off of that. Just to talk about all three of them. Again, Sawinski didn't play today. Smith and Jigba had went 1-for-3 with a strikeout, had a double. We just talked about Swaggerty's bomb today. That gave him his third home run.
That was disgusting.
Was he 1-for-2 today? Yeah, 1-for-2 with a strikeout. So the other two, solidly enough, right? They performed today.
Yeah, no. I mean, they were pretty good. I mean, Smith and Jigba has continued to mash the ball. And I think the big key is kind of like the Hastings, where we are seeing him hit the ball in the air. And that is something he really struggled to do in the minors. So pretty much for his entire career. I think last year he had over 50% ground ball rate in AAA, even though he hits the ball as hard as anyone else, and it just doesn't play. Like, unless you have Vlad Guerrero power, where you can hit 30 plus home runs and then also hit a 50% ground ball rate, you can't do that.
Right.
And so I kind of approached Smith and Jigba and Swaggerty like, all right, these approaches are changing. They're hitting for power. They're pulling the ball. That is what I want to see from spring training. I don't care about their stat line. I want to see you improve in your approach. And that's what's really been making me happy about those two.
Right. Yeah, you know, you're right. And, you know, I jokingly, like, anyone who does that, I pretty much call him Eric Hosmer. Like, Kenan Smith Jigba has a little bit of the Eric Hosmer to him. Like you're saying, like, he hits the ball very, very hard, but a lot of times it's on the ground. Now he gets on base. Like I mean, there's definitely things about him that I do like. If the power can translate, right? If he starts getting the ball in the air and the power starts translating the way it kind of has been so far this spring.
Yeah.
Again, I talk about he has two home runs, but really three. You know, the one, like Justice said on the show, because I don't think the game was on TV that day. He hit a home run, but he didn't know it was a home run. Right. So he passed the guy and ended up being a single. So it's like in a box score, it counts as a single, but he actually truly has three home runs on spring. So. Yeah. Like you are, I mean, he's hitting the ball hard again this spring. Like that stuff's there, but maybe we're starting to see it translate into true game power and getting in the air. Cause that's the intriguing part about him. If he can do all 230 pounds of this monster, if he could do that,
it's absolutely insane to think about, because like the guy he has an eye that will play in the majors.
Yes.
He sees the ball insanely well. But for a guy that big and that freak of an athlete, he's never hit more than 7 home runs in a season. And that is like worries me. And so the fact that he's already hit three this spring in what, like, I don't even know how many at-bats against, you know, against probably some actual major league pitching, I think is really encouraging. If he walks and starts hitting for power, then I don't think Suwinski has a place. You've taken what Suwinski does and made it better, and so he leaves. Like, so no, I'm very encouraged, and I think I'd want to see him in AAA. I'd probably say Swaggerty deserves the spot, and then send Cannon, Smith, and Jigba and Suwinski to AAA for the time being and let them battle it out, just because I want to see him prove that like swing change isn't just a hoax.
That's fair. I think, by the way, 30 at bats. So 3 home runs, 1 double, and the 8 hits he's had out of 30 at bats for Smith and Jigba.
I think
what it comes down to is Suwinski, we know, has power. I mean, everything you talked about before, like we know that part about him for sure.
Yeah.
I think we're a little unsure exactly how well the hit tool is in the strikeouts, but I think we're leaning towards what it may really be. But regardless, with Kenny Smith and Jigba, I think we know we're fine. We're seeing if the power is legit. We know we can get on base, right? Not the best outfielder, but the hitting wise, it's there. But with Swaggerty, it's almost the same thing. It's like, is what he's doing with the bat for real? We know the defense is there, and we know we can play center field. And to me, I think it's like that's going to be maybe the ultimate decision for the Pirates. Mm-hmm. Understanding that Brian Reynolds. You know, it is Brian Suwinski, because that's the combo of center field we're talking about. You see, they want to get him out of center field full time. Mm-hmm. So they're putting him in left a little bit. So when he is in left, it is Suwinski in center, but Suwinski in center is kind of shaky. And then the bat we see is very shaky. So maybe that's what gives Swagger the upper hand. If there's, you know, true competition, they decide one of the three, or maybe it's, there's more belief in the bat with Smith and Jigba, and that's where they go with him. Like there's pros and cons to all these players. So it's going to be, I guess, again, intriguing to see which direction the Pirates go based off of whatever reason.
And at the very least, and like last year, we are employing 3 actual outfielders on the team at the same time. Ben, you've done it.
man, how far this team has come.
Roster construction, man. It's like a mistake I'm making out of the park. And, you know, I kind of mentioned this before the show, but I am worried about the bullpen. Specifically the left-handed bullpen.
Yeah.
Because we have one guy right now who is fun. Jose Hernandez is fun. But he's a Rule 2 guy who hasn't played above AA, and he is our only left-handed guy pitcher, I think, on the roster. And I think that's going to be a big problem, unless like we have some like amazing relievers waiting in AAA that we can use that are on the 40-man. But I don't think they exist.
So, yes, that's a very fair point. I guess I would be more worried, if that means something, if this was like a real, this team's ready to compete type of year.
Okay, that's fair.
It's not ideal, because you're right. And I guess with that being said, the news from Harleen Garcia this week, the fact that like he can't even grip a baseball still, and they're probably going to revisit this in, what was it, 5 to 6 weeks?
Yeah, it's like 5 to 6 weeks not touching a baseball.
Yeah, like just to revisit and say, okay, let's check him, see how you are. So not a throwing program. Like, I mean, this guy potentially is probably going to be on the 60-day IL. I could only imagine if that's the time length.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess with that, maybe that's a way of adding additional left-handed, maybe on the 60-day IL, and they add someone to the 40-man as a left-handed reliever. Mm-hmm. There's potential there. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like outside of Hernandez, there really isn't, at least this way, there's not many intriguing options.
Yeah. But I think before we signed Jarlin, there wasn't a single lefty on the 40-man. Sorry, Harlan. Yeah, before we signed him, I don't think there was a single lefty on the 40-man. So I'm just trying to think, like, how did we let this happen? But
remember a minute ago when you were like, congratulations, there's actually 3 outfielders?
Yeah. We shifted into bullpen. I don't want to turn this. It's a happy day. I don't want to turn it into a Ben Sherrington rant, but I'm just like, sure. You are a general manager of a real life baseball team.
generally.
We can't get basic roster construction down. It's something that's really frustrating to me. And I'm probably overreacting because you are completely right. We're not competing this year. We're probably going to win like 73 to 75 games, which I will take. But I keep hearing about how like the message from the front office and like the team is that like now we're trying. Now we're going to try to win. Great. Can we start putting together a serious MLB roster? I guess is my complaint.
Right. Well, you know, if you're trying to win, you would have Endy, but that's... Well,
yeah. You guys spent like 45 minutes on Endy's last time, so we wouldn't have to go there.
Right. We don't need to do that. But I guess I'll just throw this out there. So some guys, we talk about intrigue. I know I was, for a quick minute, I was on the Caleb Smith train of intrigue, and that ended very, very quickly. I think his next time, like we talked to Justice after the injury, and I was like talking to him about him, and he was like, I don't know. I'd really been... mentioned or brought him up or, you know, looked into his pitching and stuff. Because, again, him adding the two-seamer added some intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
And then his next outing, I think he gave up two home runs. And I was like, okay, well, never mind. I'm done. He's the same guy. That was his problem all along to begin with. So I'm over that. Let's talk about a person, and we don't have to go too deep into this.
Okay.
There's really not a need to. But he did pitch today, part of the post game. It is a lefty. He's not the 40-man, but Cam Aldrin. I mean, he did pitch for the Pirates last year. He had a very nice outing today. I mean, okay. He came in, bases loaded, two strikeouts, did his job. I don't, again, know how much intrigue there is with him, but he is a left-hander. We saw what he did last year, and he's having a decent spring so far. I don't know if he's won, but he is a lefty. Maybe he gets added on. We'll find out.
So I'm looking at his pitches from today. He is a sinker ball pitcher who doesn't throw for a lot of velocity. And still gets swings and misses. Okay, that's intriguing. I have no idea how to feel about him because I haven't been able to watch a lot of spring training games. I've been at work.
But, I feel that.
It's not
when they're on TV.
Yeah, but we are like,
right. The night Yankees can't. They're on the night.
Yankees can't afford a broadcast.
Exactly.
I don't know. Those are like the guys that are really, really hard to like actually get anything from because you're in the like at that point in the game, who are you facing?
True.
You're facing.
And it wasn't really anybody he struck out.
Yeah. Matt Wallner and David Banuelos. So I'm sure are very nice guys, but I've never heard of them before in my life. And so like if he turns out to be some like magic person, I'll be very happy. I'll put it that there's doubt in my mind.
No, I mean, that's absolutely fair too. So let's do this. So get into the game. Any other pitchers that maybe showed out for you? Again, we talked about Keller. He looked good. Talk a little bit about Aldridge right now. Jose Hernandez, who didn't look good. Ramirez, Majinski, Crow, Holderman all came in today.
Yeah. Hernandez stood out for the wrong reasons.
Right.
But I was a fan of, and I have been for this entire spring, of Holderman. And same. As much as I dislike shedding cheap, good hitters for relief pitchers, I like how Holderman looks. His stuff looks dirty. He's got a great sink. He's got a 99-mile-per-hour sinker. He's getting swings and misses. I'm a fan of him, and I think him setting up with Bednar for the eighth and ninth innings are going to be a lot better than whatever the hell we had last year.
Yes, very good point. And really, most of the spring that we've talked about hasn't even been with Bednar. So, like, there's a guy coming back who's pretty damn good pitcher. He'll be in this bullpen. But like with Holderman too, I'm pretty intrigued with him. I know Jim and I have gone back and forth, and Jim's like, "You're an idiot. He's a guy." I'm like, "Whatever." But Jim's like, I'm not going to get intrigued by any reliever, period, the relievers. But like, I am intrigued with Holderman. And like, here's the thing too. And I'm not trying to say like he will eventually this, but like you said, he's hitting 99. He's hitting 99 in the middle of March. So like, I'm also curious. So what's Holderman in April and May, if he's doing that right now? So there is intrigue with him. I mean, I think a lot of us saw the video the Pirates put out with Hoerdeman, like it was like day two of pitchers and catchers reporting and him working mm-hmm. with the catchers and just talking about the different stuff he's been working on this offseason and whatnot. So I think like the intrigue for me started then. I was starting to watch him a little closely. Not that, I mean, I liked him last year at the trade. I get what you're saying about the trade. We'll have to talk this in trade, you know, reasons, but like him as a pitcher, I was intrigued in the beginning with. So yeah, I'm still certainly intrigued by him right now.
Carmen had a bit of a rough day, right?
He did, but I also had like some positive takeaway from him also. I mean, he's looked pretty solid this spring too.
I think I went to go shower during when he pitched. So part of when he pitched, so I didn't get to see a whole lot.
Fair.
I'll let you tell me how he did.
Oh, well, just so I guess in general, triple the game. He had what, two earned runs? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was 0.1 innings, three hits, two earned runs. So again, like it wasn't a bad outing, but he was missing bats here and such too. Okay. But again, like overall, like he has had a good spring.
He has. I agree.
This isn't a guy that I'm thinking like you have to worry about for this year. He's not going to be really part of the organization, or should they say the team. He'll be part of the organization, I hope. Unless they make a trade. I don't know. Yeah. But he'll be part of the organization of the team. But like what I've seen from him so far this spring has been pretty encouraging. And again, he was missing bats today, even though he also wasn't missing bats. They scored runs, but
From the bit I've seen of him, I've been very happy with Cartman. And like, whenever I go to the Baseball Savant and I like click on a game, the first thing my eyes always go to is the swing and misses, because I think it gives me the best idea of like how the pitcher is doing. And like, no, like six in like, I don't know how many pitches he had, but like 30 pitches and like 20 pitches and six swings and misses. That is very encouraging.
Right.
And
the discouraging part is it took him 30 pitches to record an out.
Well, I'm just looking. It seems like he couldn't throw strikes today. But that's also the nature of spring training where like you're working with stuff. So I'm not too terribly worried about not throwing strikes. I don't know. I know he was drafted as a starter. Do you see him as a starter? I'm not sure I do.
It's a fair question. I mean, I think ultimately probably not. But obviously you're going to give him every opportunity.
Yeah. I see his stuff and it seems like he struggled with command his entire time in the majors or in professional baseball. So I feel like that would project more to being more of a reliever role because as a starter, he got rocked in Double A.
Yep.
But he has high strikeout stuff. I mean, you see the movement he has on his cutter, and he has a sinker. So like he has three nice pitches that he combines well. It would just be nice if like he could be a starter. I kind of put him in the same boat as Kyle Nicholas, where like they're fun.
That's a good
But I don't know if I see them more than just bullpen arms. And honestly, that's fine because I have suffered through some of the worst bullpens I have seen as a fan in 20 years, the last 3 years or so.
Right. No, that's fair because I definitely don't look at Nicholas as a starter either. I haven't.
I don't think anyone saw him as a starter even when the trade came about. Well, like, I think everyone kind of projected him to be a reliever at that point too.
Yeah, if you know you followed the good people, but anyways, so I guess let's pivot. So we talk about, you know, a lot of the pitchers and stuff. We've talked about some of the batters too, but let's pivot to, I think, you know, the guy that all of us really, really want to talk about from this game. Cabrian Hayes, another home run, pulled it again, just laced it. And I think what was funny too was, and they were even talking about it, you know, during the game when it was happening, it looked like he was trying to hit it away. Mm-hmm. And then he was just like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going back to what's been working this spring. I'm just going to swing, get ahead of it, and drive it over the fence. And that's what he did. And he hit his third home run again. For everything we started this show, talking about how excited you know we are for Mitch Keller, I feel the same thing for Cabrian Hayes right now. I'm so excited to see what Cabrian Hayes does this year.
Hayes has been really fun. And to your point about him like trying to hit the ball away, you know, and things like that, I actually didn't mind that. Because it shows he has the ability to, like, if he needs to, he can spoil a pitch to the opposite side for a single. And, like, where, like, he can adjust and he doesn't always have to sell out for power. But the fact that he's now finally pulling the ball, selling out for power, launching the ball, hitting the ball hard every time, and he's not just hitting ground balls. I am so excited. Like, he's already a 4-WAR player. So the idea of him like now becoming like a decent power bat, and like I think you mentioned just before, like you don't need him to be like 130 WRC plus. You don't need him to be a Brian Reynolds level hitter. If you just get him to 110, 115, that's a 6-WAR player making $9 million a year.
Yeah.
And that is like a, it's really cool to think about, because if this team is going to start competing, Hayes kind of has to be that. Hey, we can't get by with Hayes hitting like an 87 WRC plus and like being a detriment to the lineup. And so, no, the sprint has been very encouraging and he's been rewarded. That was a great home run. The swing was smooth. The swing, his hand, bat speed is fast. He moved his hands through the plate. And I mean, I don't know why he didn't do this 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, like, I'll put it this way. I'll argue with you, and this is not going to be a big argument, but I'll argue with you that the team can get by with that.
Okay.
But again, I guess this is where the excitement comes from. Like, he's still a 3-WAR player with that terrible of a bat. And I think most organizations will take a 3-WAR third baseman. Like, if that's your floor, just because of how good the defense is, I'll take that. But that's why this is the exciting part. Because if he is just league average, which means he's like 15% better than what he was last year. That's where if he's 15% better and he's just league average, which means he's a league average third baseman. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Like you said, like that's a 4-5 WAR player. If he excels and becomes like an above average, which is like, I'm not trying again. I know it's spring, but what he's doing right now.
Well, it's not about the slash line. It's about what his approach and how he's swinging the bat.
Right.
That's the important part.
You hear him talk about what he adapted and what he wanted to do this offseason, how he worked on it. And now you're seeing the results from that hard work. And I'm not here to tell you like he's going to hit 30 home runs and he's going to do all this, right? But like the results that we're seeing from the fundamental change in his approach and his swing and everything. If he can just go out there and bat 280 and hit 15, 20 home runs, like that's and that's nothing from a third baseman. That's all we're asking for, right? This is a 6-WAR player you're basically talking about from Brian Hayes. And that's why I feel like any team could probably, you know, if you're taking a 3-WAR player to third, that's fine. You can build around it. But now you have someone like that. Now maybe there's still Brian Reynolds. Now Cruz takes the next step. Like now you're seeing a team being built. And you can supplement those instead of looking at Brian Hayes as a supplemental piece. So like that's how he changes this. He now becomes a dude opposed to just he's there, he's good, he's a safety net. And that's what has me so excited for him.
It's crazy to think about because like I don't know if you've ever seen like the Foolish Baseball like top 50 and like how he like judges players like in terms of like the rank. Brian Hayes, like 110 WRC plus is like in the top 20% of players in baseball. Like that is just how good his defense is. He's
right.
So like we're not even asking him to become Nolan Arenado. Like we're not. So, but I was a little skeptical when I saw him put on 15 pounds of muscle because I'm like, that was never the issue. You've always destroyed the daylights out of the ball. I was kind of getting Gregory Polanco flashbacks.
Right.
But, no, he's happily proven me wrong and been very happy with his spring, everything about him, and been very mature. And I was hearing him talk. He had a plan. He executed the plan. I'm just hoping to God that it happens during the season too.
For sure. I kept track to a point. I don't think he's played or the game he did play in between, maybe didn't have any hits out there, whatever, but I knew at one point 4 out of the 5 hits he had were all pulled. The fifth one was, like I said, it was like a little bit to the left of center field. It was still like center field, wasn't like dead center. But a little, so it was still on the left-hand side of the outfield per se. So today makes it 5 out of 6. And again, another home run. So 3 home runs out of those 6 balls that have reached the outfield or further. So again, like I understand if you look at the batting average aspect, right? Like the batting average is low, but right, like you talk about like it's small sample. You know, like one hit that bloops in raises your batting average 50 points. So that's where we're at. Like that's why like the averages, the slash doesn't matter too much.
Yeah.
But right, like I'm not too worried about that. What I'm worried about is his approach and how he looks as a hitter And he looks so far to be a damn good hitter. And to your point, you said before, we knew he could hit away. Like, that's probably one of the hardest things to do. And like, that's naturally what he is good at.
Yeah.
Pulling the ball and hitting it as hard as we know he can hit it and doing that is what he needed to work on. And it seems like he worked on it.
Yeah. Yeah. He did the work. And I mean, in pulling the ball is one thing. It's also the other thing of actually elevating the ball. Yes. He kept getting under, he kept getting over so many baseballs that he would beat the crap out of, like hitting, like, but that would go right to the shortstop. And to your point about like batting average, like I'm not terribly concerned about batting average because he hit like 260 in 2021. I'd rather see him hit 235 and give me 20 home runs than let him hit 260 and give me like six.
Right.
You know? So if he has to sell out a bit of contact and his batting average dips a little, I don't mind.
No, same.
I really don't care. give me the home runs.
Yeah, I just want to see him drive the ball, and that's what he's doing right now. So, and with that today said, had the hardest hit ball, 107.1 miles per hour, which I think had a 17-degree launch angle, but it did go for 384 feet for another home run. So, Ke'Bryan Hayes continuing his intriguing spring.
Yeah, you can't say anything about it yet, unfortunately, but...
I'm very, very intrigued. Yes. All right. And then I guess just to touch the notes again, O'Neill Cruz did go over 3-2 strikeouts today. I think today was his first multi-strikeout performance. Again, that was one of the things we talked about with Cruz, things that you like to see, right? I think he had 6 strikeouts coming in today. So I guess today makes 8 for the season. Still a very low K rate, but today he went over 3-2 strikeouts.
Yeah, I mean – I guess the one thing that I noticed that you could correct me. I remember his first strikeout was just on a rising fastball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more concerned about him missing breaking balls.
Yep.
And so I do think that it has been great, like absolutely fantastic to see that he hasn't been striking out as much and he's still hitting for power. Like I said, I think he has 3 home runs this spring. Am I right to say that?
Yes.
3 home runs. And so, yeah, no, just seeing those steps forwards are encouraging, which is weird because
I feel like... No, my bad. 2 home runs.
Oh, yes, 2 home runs. Okay. It's good to see Cruz at that because I also feel like we've struck out a lot as a team the spring training.
Facts.
And I think that's just the... I think that's just the Andy Haynes experience, the wild ride. But to be fair, he also was very unlucky to not double to lead off the game. Like he smokes the ball down the first baseline. And so, no, I think
they had expected batting average like 660. And then Reynolds was next up and his was smoked also, had like expected of 550 and both were outs. I mean, that's baseball. But yeah,
it's your baseball. It's like, no, I've been very happy with Cruz. And like, even if he just gets it down to 25% strikeout rate, that's incredible. Like, I will take that every day of the week. So,
what you said about Hayes, he doesn't need to improve that much on the case, right? Like, you don't need at 25%, he's really good.
And that's what I have to tell people, like, who are low on Cruz. I'm like, his floor last year was a 30 home run season and 100 RBIs. That was his floor. So, like, not to, like, say, like, oh, he's, like, the next, like, Aaron Judge, but, like, he's going to be good. I'm not – if there are people worried about in camp, O'Neill Cruz is not one of them.
Fair. All right. Well, how about this? With that said, anything else that stood out today? Anything else that you want to really, really talk about?
Unless you really want to talk about Mark Mathias. Not really.
Not yet. I do have this feeling he's going to find his way on the roster. And I think that has more to do with the lack of Bay and Castro. Their performance, like how we talked about with Sawinski and
official sources have been telling my ears that Ralph Castro might spend starting AAA.
And the thing about that is I wouldn't be opposed. Like, I think it's the opposite of the Sawinski situation. Sawinski isn't playing well, but the guys under him are barking and they're wanting to get in there and they're playing well. And I think the second base situation, it's just pathetic all around that like no one wants it. So there's really no one pounding on the door. So
yeah, what are your
maybe
options?
They all get sent down and it's Mark Mathias getting the
time. I still think Bay is going to be completely fine. I just think his skill set plays too well to not be fine.
Yeah.
But no, they've all been kind of terrible. And it's always it sucks because Chris Owen also might like somehow get his way into a roster spot by default, and I will lose my mind over it. He's just Josh Van Meter. Like at the I cannot shake the comparison. He's going to be Josh Van Meter again if he makes the roster. So don't want to see him anywhere near the team.
I'll put it this way though, that's true. The only thing about him though is we probably won't need to see him play first base at least.
Or catch,
and hopefully pitch. So at least he'll be in his box that he needs to stay within if he's the next Josh Van Meter.
I almost feel bad. Josh Van Meter is probably like the nicest guy alive. And if we just destroy him on a daily basis as Pirates fans.
I know. It's not about Josh Van Meter. It's about Charrington.
Yeah, who employs him?
Yeah. But anyways, no, we won't need to go into Mathias too deep. But that's pretty much all I had.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. So yeah, Pirates do win 7-4. They improve this spring to, gosh, I just had 6-12-3. Is that what it is?
All right. 6-12-3.
I go back to it. Yep. 6-12-3. So there you go. Moving on up. All right. We'll get out of here. I know they play tomorrow, probably not a post game show. So, Jim, myself, Cody, and Tyler all going down to Bradenton next week. We'll be there from Sunday to Sunday. If you guys are able to do a post game, we might have post games without for everyone wanting to know.
It depends on when the Xavier Pitt game is, but maybe.
There you go.
I will check the schedule.
So with that said, for the next post game, next podcast show, all TBD for right now. But there'll be tons of content this week. I'll promise you that.
Sounds good.
So let's get out of here. Appreciate everyone for watching, listening to the podcast. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.